I'd like you to take out the notes that I have in the bulletin insert there. You can just scribble some little notes if you'd like to, and as the Lord is speaking to you. We're continuing in our What Now series from Psalm 37, and as we've been talking about for a few weeks now, we're asking the question, what do we do in the face of challenges and transition and change, both personally and our church family at FBC, living in a culture that's changing rapidly, it can be alarming, upsetting, and how do we respond as the people of God, as Jesus followers, to live out our faith during this time? And the answer is really has been found in Psalm 37, and that's why we've been there. And Psalm 37 has some great counsel for us, and I want us to take it to heart. And that's why you're hearing some of these sermons. They might sound like, wait a minute, I already heard that. But we want to Shema, we want to hear and then respond to the Lord and do it. And so I hope it's going to be an encouragement to you as we go through this series. And as you remember, the first one was what? Do not fret. Fret not. Okay, and why should we not fret? Psalm 37 tells us, because the wicked will not last for long. It'll only be for a season. And then the second truth, and this is powerful, of God's steadfast love and His faithfulness to you. And I love this verse in Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. God is not going to forsake you. He is not going to forsake us. And then the second point was do not fret. The first point was do not fret. The second point was what? Trust in the Lord. And it was trust in Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. He is the object of our faith. We trust in Him by remembering His promises. We trust in Him by remembering the past and what He's done in our life, in the life of our church. And then lastly, we regain His perspective. We have vision. We begin to see things God's way through His perspective. When we do that, then we can really trust the Lord. And then last week, it was real short. What were we to do? Do good. Really simple. Hard to do. And we're reminded that we were designed to express the goodness of God. We're designed to reflect God's goodness and that God is good. And the second part was because when we don't do good, we grieve the heart of God and we cause His heart pain. And then the third point was we are now redesigned because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has redesigned us. He has regenerated us. We are now a new person, and we now can continue to move on back to doing good, reflecting His glory and praise. So this morning, we're going to receive the fourth word of wisdom or counsel from the Lord. What to do when the evil seems to be, the wicked seem to be winning, when things don't seem to be going as we thought they would. What are we supposed to do? One of my favorite verses, one of my favorite life verses, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight is a command. This is a commandment. God is saying, delight yourself in the Lord. Do it. It's a command to delight yourself in the Lord. Delight meaning to be exceedingly pleased or joyful. As I can't help but talk about my grandson now, and I apologize for that, but not really. But when I went and I was able to hold him the first time the day after, and I just put that little peanut in my arm, you know, like a football, and I cradled him, and I just looked at him, and I just truly delighted in my grandson, Gray. And I would just watch him, and he didn't have to do anything but just sit there and be. And I just saw the beautiful, cute little nose and his silvery hair, you know, blondish hair, and just the wiggles he would make on his face, and then the fingers that are so majestically tiny, and the little feet, and you put your finger on his feet, and of course, they curl up, and he goes, what are you doing? And I just delighted in my grandson. And that's what God is talking about here. It's a beautiful picture of the Lord in us. And the Lord is saying, you guys, I hold you like a grandfather would hold his grandson or granddaughter. And I'm looking at you and I'm beholding you and I take great joy and delight in you. And I want you to do the same with me. I want you to look up into the eyes of your Father, your Heavenly Father, and I want you to delight in me. So he goes on to say, delight yourself. The delight is something that you and I are to pursue. It's a good thing to pursue. It's a good thing to pursue this God, this delight, to joy in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and just to enjoy our God. It's a good thing. And he's saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do this to yourself. I want you to delight. And then who are you to delight in? Who is the object of our delight? In the Lord. And again, it's that word for Yahweh. Delight yourself in the covenant-keeping God, the God who has given himself a personal name, whose name is Yahweh. Delight yourself in this personal God who designed you and created you. I want you to think about our God for a moment. Think about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, unique persons. And yet together, all together, they are only one in essence. I can't comprehend that. But picture who our God is as he's revealed himself. A triune God, three persons, one in unity, one in essence, who has always existed. I can't comprehend that either. But that's who God is. And he is a God who is relational by his very nature. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have relationship with one another from all of eternity. God did not need to create you and me to have friendship and to have relationship. He already had it in himself. The Father would commune with the Son would commune with the Spirit would commune with the Father, all in perfect relationship. But that is who our God is. So, wouldn't it make sense that that relational God, who is different than any other human-made God, if you think about it, because our God is a personal God, a relational God. So it makes sense that that God, our God, would create you and me in his image. It would naturally follow that he designs us with a capacity and a longing to know him and to delight in him and to experience great joy in our great God. He doesn't intend for the relationship to be mundane or boring or fearful in a sense. He is saying, I want you to know me and I want you to delight in me and I delight in you. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in man's mind, yet they cannot understand what God has done from the beginning to the end. Eternity, that sense that there is a God, their sense there's someone greater than me, their sense that there is someone greater, far greater than me, has been put into our minds and our hearts. And there's a longing that you and I have. Ecclesiastes is saying there's a longing that you and I have to delight in God and to know God. Eternity is in the heart of mankind, filling us with this longing. But we don't know what we long for until we see and experience the breathtaking presence of God. 2 years ago, it was on a Sunday, that we baptized my good friend Brandon. Can't be here today because he's really sick. And he said, I want to come, I want to be here. I said, Brandon, don't come to church. It's pretty bad when your pastor's telling you not come to church, right? But he was sick, and I said, no, you don't want to get everybody else sick. But I want to be there. That's great, Brandon, but not this week. It's okay next week. I'll come this week, we'll talk about the sermon. But he was baptized 2 years ago here. The week before he came here, he sat in the library. We sat and talked, and he was thirsty, and he was feeling that restlessness, that emptiness of God. And when I explained who Jesus was, and he knew a lot about Jesus, and he put his faith in Christ, something amazing happened to Brandon. He began to see the awesome face of God. And only these past 2 years, as he's walked with the Lord, Brandon continues to grow in his faith, Lord, getting to know him. We're going through the Truth Project together. And he's just blown away because he loves science and philosophy and all that stuff. And he's just going through, going, well, that's my God. How can you not believe there's a God? And he's just experienced the God. And one of the things Brandon is learning to, having to learn, is that, Brandon, it's not a religion. It's not a bunch of to-do lists. That's not what Christianity is about. It's a relationship with the living God. And God delights in you. And God wants us to delight in Him. And Brandon is beginning to learn that. St. Augustine said this about God, "You made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." And so Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord," is calling us to fill that restless heart, the empty yearnings that we are created with. And David, the psalmist, is counseling with this counsel. In the midst of wickedness, in the midst of seeing things going on out in your world, when you feel like you're losing the battle, when you feel like there's huge changes coming or things are happening in my life and I don't know what's going to happen next, you know what David's saying? Get back to what you were designed for. Get back to delighting yourself in the Lord. And that is what we are also to do during this time in our lives with the Lord. What happens when somebody consistently delights in the Lord? I love this. Flip over to Psalm 27. David also wrote this psalm. He wrote Psalm 34 or 37, but he also wrote Psalm 27. And this describes what happens when somebody consistently delights in the Lord. I love this. Psalm 27, start with verse 1. "Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." Did you hear it? David just said he experienced all those things. He had people coming after him for his life. He had armies sieging him. He knew what it was to be surrounded by the enemy when he's in the cave and Saul's army is after him and his men. He understands that. But what does the person who delights in the Lord have? They have an incredible, great confidence in God. Why? Because they've delighted in the Lord. They have confidence in God. Listen, verse 4, I love this. "One thing," David says, "I ask of Yahweh, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of Yahweh and to seek Him in His temple." Did you catch that? The person who delights in God has a hunger and a thirst for God's presence. David is saying, man, the only thing I ask is, Lord, that I could dwell in your presence for the rest of my life. The only thing I want to do, Lord, is to gaze on the beauty of your presence. And that's what God wants from us. There's a third thing that a person who delights himself in the Lord experiences, and that's found here in verse 5 and 6. "For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me." You know what happens to the person who delights themselves in the Lord? They experience God's security. Did you see it, what he said there? He says, you know, even though my enemies are there, even though there's days of troubles, God will keep me safe. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle. He will set me high on a rock. Have you ever had a time when you play with kids and you're playing maybe hide-and-go-seek and they're running around and there's the base? And it might be a rock or it might be a play structure. And they're running to the base and they get to the base and they're really confident because they're in touch with the base, right? I'm on this rock. And that's how it is when we delight in the Lord. We're running to home base. And God's saying, you're secure. It's okay. I'm with you. And then lastly, here's what a person who delights in the Lord looks like. Look what David says. He says, at his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. Verse 6. I will sing and make music to the Lord. The person who delights themselves in the Lord will joyfully express their praise to God. Almost extravagantly. What are the words there? Lord, when I offer my sacrifices to you, there will be shouts of praise. Isn't that a little obnoxious, a little over the edge? When you delight in the Lord, you can't help but exude praise to the Lord. And he says, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. And so when we delight ourselves in the Lord, we can't help but just exude praise. I love it, Nomi, when you're up here and we're singing, we're worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden Nomi in her God-given voice just goes off. And it helps me just to worship. It's like, oh, what a beautiful song to the Lord she can express in ways I can't. And I love that. Because as we gather here, when we've delighted ourselves in the Lord, we're going to long, one voice, one heart, to lift up praise exuberantly to the Lord. So how can David be this way? How can he have such great confidence in God? How can he hunger for God's presence in such a way? How can he experience God's security? How can he joyfully just enter into praise exuberantly? It's because his life is characterized by one who delights in the Lord. Will you delight in the Lord? You do that and you will experience that security, that confidence, that exuberant praise. It will have to come out. So I want to leave us with this, an application. How do we put this delight in the Lord into practice? How do we do that? There are a couple things we've got to do, and they're in your notes there. If we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, we've got to guard our heart. God says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You and I need to guard our heart from things that will douse our flame of delighting in the Lord. And there's a lot of things that can douse our flame of delighting in the Lord. One of them is the things of the world, the flesh, the devil, compete to fill that longing that God has put in us. God has put in us a desire to know Him and to delight in Him. And there's a lot of competition for that. I don't have my cell phone on me. It is a great tool. I can text worship team and say, hey, we're doing this, or I can text Turning Point team or whatever. Great tool, but it's also not good. Because there's so many things that can come through that would distract me from delighting the Lord. I have to turn it off when I'm in my office and I'm taking time to seek the Lord, because it'll just ding, ding, ding. And what do? Oh, go check it, right? A lot of competition to take us away from delighting in the presence of the Lord. A lot of temptations out there for our middle school and high school kids and for our children. A lot of things out there that would just take away and quench that hunger and that desire and that delight in the Lord. And I'm deeply worried about that and concerned. And as parents, you have an incredible responsibility to help guard the heart of your children. There is so much stuff out there that would rob them of delighting in the Lord. You and I were created to delight in God alone. Everything else is a poor substitute. One of the greatest obstacles to delighting ourselves in the Lord is to view our relationship with God as a religious exercise, and that it turns into just religious duty. And that can happen so easily. We're just, as I come into worship, and yeah, I'm just going to church today because that's what I got to do, rather than, oh, I want to go and be with God's people because I want to lift up praise to God because I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I can't wait to gather with His people and to worship Him. Our faith can easily become ritual and wooden rather than fresh and alive. And God is saying, when you delight in me, your worship and your life each day will be filled with joy. We need to guard against neglect. Delighting in the Lord takes time, work, intentional effort. And we're busy. And again, do you remember the acrostic I gave you a few months ago? Busy is can be being under Satan's yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. If we are so busy and we neglect delighting ourselves in the Lord, He's got us. And so one of the things I think we need to do is practice the presence of God each day. As we go through the day, we start the day, Lord, I'm with you. I want to walk with you. Lord, keep a track in my mind open to you. Help me to be aware and sensitive to you today. Just as our minds are amazing things. But one of the things we can do in our minds is multitask. At least some of us can. And one of the things can be, Lord, would you just keep one track of my mind open to you today? So as I'm going through the day, in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the pressure, Lord, I can take that moment to say, oh, thank you, Lord, for that. I saw that beautiful plant today just in the springtime coming up. Lord, you're an incredible creator. Lord, I just said that word to that person. It wasn't very nice. Lord, will you forgive me? And just allowing God to speak through you through that one track in your mind all throughout the day. That will happen when we tell, Lord, I want to delight in you all through the day, even in the midst of the beautiness, of the busyness. So we need to guard our hearts so that we would delight ourselves in the Lord. And then the last thing we need to do is nurture our heart. Psalm 119 says this, oh, how I love your law, how I meditate on it all day long. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey of honeycomb. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. All through Psalm 119, you read this psalm and you realize that delighting in the Lord is really closely related to delighting in the Word of the Lord. You can't separate the two. And as we are in the Word with God, taking time to delight in the Lord, God just speaks as, yep, that's who I am. And so we need to nourish our heart. No wonder that Colossians instructs us that you will delight in the Lord when you nourish your heart by letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. But also he goes on to say in Colossians, you will delight in the Lord as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs of gratitude in your hearts to God. Worship, being in the Word, are critical elements of delighting in the Lord. And then practicing the presence of God as you're going through the day, you're just experiencing the Lord saying, oh, Lord, that's awesome. That's great. Thank you, God. And just being aware of God's presence. Do you know what happens when you delight yourself in the Lord? It's the second part of the verse. He will give you the desires of your heart. I remember it was in probably September of 1982. Sherry and I had just gotten married. We were going up to Portland. We had just finished out at Ashland Bible Church as youth pastor out there, just unofficially volunteer, putting in a lot of work and, you know, and giving kids rides and all that stuff. Sound familiar? And we were leaving for seminary. And we had gotten married in this church, and Jerry Lindell was the pastor here at that time. And as we were leaving, I can still remember where we were on North Main. I told Sherry, I turned to her and I said, you know, we're going to school, it's going to be awesome, and we're going to grow in love with the Lord and want to serve Him. But Sherry, I would love to come back here and be a pastor at Ashland First Baptist Church, and I'd love to work with Jerry Lindell. But I know it's not going to happen because it's too easy. And if God wants us to go to deepest, darkest Oakland or New York or whatever, we'll go. Okay? And we're going to go where God wants us to be. At that moment, God had put a desire in my heart Fast forward 4 years later, we get a call from Ashland First Baptist Church saying, you know, we're looking for a youth pastor, and a bunch of people know you here. Would you be willing to come down and candidate? And Tim Simonson was one of those that was on the search committee. That was 31 years ago. I still marvel at that. The years here have been wonderful, filled with great joy. Back then, God gave me a delight, a desire in my heart, and we kept on delighting in the Lord, and He gave us the desires of our heart. And that's what happens when you and I delight in the Lord. When we delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. And it is so sweet. It is so rich. Such a blessing. So, the instruction for us this morning is for us to not neglect, but to nurture the heart. Let's go before the Lord and delight ourselves in Him. And He will give you the desires of your heart. It's really appropriate that we take communion right now, because this communion time, I want it to be special. Have you ever been to communion? I have. And it's kind of like, yeah, we kind of did it. We took the bread and we took the cup and we just kind of did it. And I don't want it to be rote. I want it to be real, out of a deep, loving relationship with the God that we serve. And the beautiful thing this morning is that I'm going to have you come up and you can take the elements and take it back with you. Then we're going to take them together. And if someone's with you and, you know, they're just not able to get up here, get one for them. Take it for them. But the beautiful thing is, as we take communion today, it's a reminder that there was a point in time when God created us to have a relationship with Him, to delight in Him. Unfortunately, there was a point in time when we sinned against God, and Adam and Eve did it, and everybody since then. And so that delighting in God wasn't even possible. If you don't know God, you can't delight in Him. And yet there's that restlessness in our heart and that yearning for Him, but we can't have the relationship because it's blocked. Sin blocked that for us. And so how appropriate that we come, we take the bread and the cup, because it reminds us that Jesus came, lived that perfect life, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and by shedding His blood, we now can be restored in delighting in the Lord. And so as you hold the bread, as you take the cup, would you delight in the Lord? Worship team, come on up. We're going to have them come up, and they're going to just be playing music as we come up and get the elements. And I want you to hang on to them, because I want us to take it together, because we are the family of God. We're not a bunch of individuals. We are the body of Christ. But as they're playing, as they start playing, I want you to come up, take it, hold it, and I want you just to enjoy the Lord. Maybe you just need to thank Him, saying, oh, Lord, thank You for the reminder today that You're so good to me, You're so gracious to me. Or it might be, Lord, thank You for reminding me that I'm not really delighting in You and I really need to delight in You. Lord, draw near to me. Because what does Scripture say? Draw near to the Lord and He will draw near to you. Lord, as we come to communion, Father, we want to delight in You. Lord, thank You for this amazing symbolism that You've given us, the bread, to remember Your body, Lord Jesus. It was given as a sacrifice. Lord, we're given the cup to remember Your death, Your life that was given. Oh, Lord, so that we could have a relationship with You, that we could delight in You. And so, Lord, we're coming to the table as a picture saying, Lord, I want to delight in You. And as we come, we take the bread and the cup, Lord, we're really saying, Lord, we long for You. We love You. We adore You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll get it for you.
I'd like to take it together with you, because we are the body of Christ. As we take the bread, let's be reminded of the fact that Jesus shed or gave his body as a sacrifice for us. All the punishment for our sin was placed on him. Why? So that we could delight in the Lord. A life, a perfect life, had to be given so that we could have a relationship with the living God, so that we could delight in him. We couldn't do it. We weren't worthy enough. But there was one who was, Jesus Christ. Scriptures say without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin. But our sin is forgiven because of our Lord. Oh, how he loves you. And he's restored us to a relationship with him forever. Lord, we come to worship you. We come to respond to your word in Psalm. Lord, you've reminded us this morning that we are commanded to delight in you. Lord, we're commanded to delight ourselves in you, and that you will give us the desires of our heart. And so, Lord, as we've come to the table, Lord Jesus, we remember you, and we're going to remember you until the day we're in your presence, seeing you face to face. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord, that we now can delight in you every single day. And now, Lord, we give to you an offering of praise as we sing this song. Lord, you're our cornerstone. Lord, we give to you an offering through our deacon fund to bless others that need to know there is a God who wants them to delight in him. So, Lord, now we worship you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. righteousness alone, for all blessed to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the
assignment for this week, delight in the Lord. Don't forget Shema too. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the reminder from your word and in Psalm. That God, we're not to fret. We're to trust you. We're to do good. And Lord, we are to delight in you. Dismiss us now, Lord, in your grace and in your mercy. And Lord, this week, would you enable us to guard our hearts, to nourish our hearts by delighting in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, our prayer group is going to meet.